Last 3 weeks have been very difficult as I've been with somebody that's on the journey to go to be with the Lord, and my wife is there today, so I don't have her here with me, but I went to bed last night just so unsure of what I was supposed to preach, and that almost never happens. I usually know, and sometimes God changes it, but I had a sermon, and I just didn't feel it was right. Woke up at just after 6 when Kathy left about 5:30 this morning, and at 6 o'clock I woke up and just felt the presence of God, just like we're having here this morning. And God began to speak to me, and I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, and I thought, God, I only have 3 hours to get this sermon, and I usually spend a lot longer than 3 hours getting a sermon. But God just began to speak to me, and I want to read from Acts chapter 1. Turn with me. I want to begin reading with verse 7. He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by His own authority." Now, how many know the Bible teaches us that Satan goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour? It also tells us in John 10:10 that the thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. Don't ever make friends with the devil because he's your adversary. A lot of people flirt with sin, and they make friends with the devil, and they don't realize he's out to destroy them. I believe that every trial Satan hits us with has an objective and an agenda. I mean, we just were hit the other day with just one thing after another, and I thought, man, what is it? Everything is breaking down. Everything's going wrong. And I realized what the devil wanted was my faith. He wanted me to get mad at God. Like God had something to do with my garage door breaking or the sump pump not working or all these things that were going wrong. Listen, Satan is after your faith. When he came in the Garden of Eden and he said, "Did God really say you can't eat of this fruit of this tree?" He began to tempt Adam and Eve. You know what he wanted? He wanted their faith. He wanted that assurance that they had in God, that confidence that their Heavenly Father had their best interest in mind. If I live my life based on circumstance, I would be troubled. But I have to base my life on the Word of God and stand. And God said, "It is not good for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by His own authority." Those were the words of Jesus. How many know that most of the time when we miss it with God, it's about times and dates? It's because God hasn't answered our prayer yet. It's because we're unsure of the outcome of what's going to happen. Well, he went on in verse 8, and Jesus tells his disciples, and these are some of the final words he says. It's his last words to his disciples. He says, "But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now listen, Christians, we are here on this planet for one reason, and that is to be His witnesses. I envy people that I see go to be with Jesus. I watch them as they take their final breaths, and I'm here to tell you, they are going to a place that far outweighs what we have here. They're going to a home where the streets are made of purest gold. They're going to a place where cancer cannot come, and they're coming into a place where there's no headaches, and there's no problems, there's no trials. There's no fights with the in-laws or the outlaws. But church, we give up so many times just moments before our miracle. We're called by God to persevere. When I was just a young boy, my pastor made a statement to me, and I'll never forget it. He said, "Keith, a winner never quits, and a quitter never wins." And that stuck with me. To not be a quitter. Because a quitter never wins, and a winner never quits. There were 120 people who were called to be a part of this prayer meeting. And I want you to know, if you ever been to a prayer meeting, it's hard work. When I pray, I'm serious, it's physically exhausting. Prayer meetings, if it's a good one, will last at least 2 hours. But they had gone 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 6 days, and they were still praying, and nothing was happening. When's the last time you prayed 6 days nonstop without leaving the room? Come on. And it wasn't till they had prayed for 10 days in that upper room and the day of Pentecost was fully come and all of a sudden here came God with the answer to their prayer. Power from on high. I don't know why God put this upon my heart today, but listen, there's somebody here. You're on the brink of a miracle. You have been praying for the longest time for God to answer your prayers and God to meet your needs. God, give us the audacity to just wait upon God. To hang in there, no matter what the circumstances look like. Because listen to me, church, circumstances lie. You can't always go by the circumstances. They will lie to you. I don't know about you, but I'm fascinated with power. The other night we were having a storm and I was sitting out on the front porch in a chair and it was just lightning and raining and everything. And Michelle called and said, "Mom, what's Dad doing?" You know, she likes to FaceTime call. He's sitting out on the porch. "What's he doing out there, Mom? It's lightning and it's raining. Tell him to get in. There's a tornado coming. Tell Dad to get inside." Sound like her grandma. And I'm just there watching it, lightning, and see that majestic light going across the sky, and I just thought about the power of that. That lightning has the power to hit a tree, a big tree, and split it right in half. Come on. Have you ever been to a dam? You know, like I remember Kathy and I went a while back to Niagara Falls. And man, you look at these dams and they have the power to hold back this water. And those water comes over and it turns these turbines and electricity comes from that. Wow, power. And I remember a couple years back, Kathy and I were in San Diego, California, and we boarded a warship. It was a big warship that was docked and they were allowing people to come and look at it. And we got on this big warship and it was the size of a city. I mean, literally, you get on there and people were all over and airplanes and helicopters were on there. And it was fascinating. And I thought about the power of that one warship. Listen, it pales to the power of Almighty God. You and I have been given power through the Holy Spirit that can change your circumstances, that can bring healing to your body, that can rock your finances and cause them to come in line and begin to be in order. God has power to heal your marriage. God has power to do the impossible. Amen. For every example I've given you of earthly power, they pale in comparison to the power of God. In the pages of Scripture, both Old Testament and New Testament are filled with displays of God's power. It's like God is saying, just give me someone who will believe it, and I'll manifest my power. Come on, somebody say amen. But where the lines seem to blur among theologians is, does God still do the miraculous today? I know He did it in the Old Testament. I know He did it in the New Testament, but does He still do it today? There are people today who say miracles ceased with the last apostle. And I hope to answer this question today as we look at some scriptures, because I believe many times we're moved and influenced by what we see. And sometimes just because somebody dies when we've been praying for them, it devastates us. Or sometimes if the things don't turn out like we thought it should turn out, we think it's a huge failure. Listen, we don't always understand God's plan. We don't always understand why things go the way they do. But I will not be moved by circumstances. I will base my life and my faith upon God's Word. And if I die and sickness is attacking my body, I will breathe my last breath saying, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and He dwells in me and I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. As Jesus is getting ready to go back to the Father, He tells His disciples to stay in Jerusalem until they receive the gift the Father had promised them. Now this was Passover time. So people had come from all the other cities and all over the world even. They had come to Jerusalem, and Jerusalem swelled from being this little city to this overflowing city that was full of people talking all various languages. And Jesus tells them, says, don't leave. Stay in Jerusalem until you're endued with power. Now, it would have been nice if he would have just said, it's going to take 10 days. Now, I know that's a long time, but it's going to take 10 days. How many just wish God would just kind of let you see the future a little bit so you knew the end of your trial? Come on, that's where I'm at a lot of times. I'm like, okay, I can handle this. But just let me know that it's going to be 10 days. I went in the other day to get a steroid injections in my back. Doctors say I have severe spinal stenosis, and I got down on the floor the other day. I was putting a faucet in my bathroom sink, and I forgot that I'm getting old, and I used to do that real easily, and it hurt so bad when I got down there and started doing this, and I put a pillow under my back, and I'm laying out, and my head's up in the sink, and I'm working underneath on the plumbing part, and all of a sudden I realize I got to get out of there. And I start trying to wiggle, and what don't hurt don't work. I felt like that the oldest grandfather you could ever find in a picture. And I said, Kathy! She says, what? I says, grab me by my feet and drag me out into the hallway. And I had a couch pillow under my butt. And so when she pulled, I just slid out of the bathroom sink and right out into the hallway. And I said, now help me get up. So about 30 minutes later, I'm up. And so this week I go to the doctor and get the injections into my back. And it gives me about 4 or 5 months. Sometimes this time it was 7 months. Thank you, Jesus. But he does these injections and they hurt. They go right into the facet joints. And the needle, first time I saw the needle, I thought I was going to die. The needle's like that long. I'm not kidding you. It's that long. And he does, then he has to give you 6 other injections to make you feel better about the other 6 he's getting ready to give you. They numb it, supposedly. Oh, I'm hurting. And I said, Doc, this hurts. And he said, oh, Keith, I'm almost done. Let's go to the other side. And then he starts on the left side. And when he got down to the last one, he's pushing, and I feel this stuff going in my back real deep, and I'm kind of writhing and moving, and he's trying to hold me still. And he says, it won't be long. Hold on. I got to get this in there. Oh, man. How do you spell relief? Now I can move around and jump. Feels so good. But sometimes we just like, how long is this going to last? You know? How long is this trial? Have you been in the middle of a trial that you just literally thought was going to last the rest of your life? Come on. It's not. I've got news for you. It's not. God has an end to that trial. He has a time when you're going to be set free from that thing that's nagging you, that's tormenting you. God's going to get you out of that. Eventually, the needle's going to come out. Listen, we are people of faith, and faith involves believing even though we do not see it in the natural. That's the hard part. Spirit eyes. Listen to me, church. You can see in the natural, but listen, God wants you and I to see in the spiritual realm. There's something going on. There's a reason that trials have come your way. And if we bail out of every trial, if we say, God, get me out of this, we're never going to learn what He allowed us to go through it for. And we're never going to grow like He wants us to grow. People often say, seeing is believing. That's wrong. No, believing is, seeing is not believing. Believing is seeing. When you believe, then you're going to see through the eyes of the Spirit. Abraham believed. Even though he was old and God said, you're going to have a son, he believed and he saw through spirit eyes. Now let's look at Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. That's amazing in itself. You know how hard it is to get people together? Look at all the people that missed church this week. Look over there, those empty seats. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly. I like the word suddenly. One of these days I'm going to preach a sermon called Suddenly. And go through all the suddenlies in the Bible. I like suddenlies. Kathy says my favorite phrase is hurry up.
I don't think so, but she says I say it way too often. Hurry, hurry. You know, if I had her ask her to get something because I'm, you know, I spilled something, or go get a towel for me or something. I say, hurry. I'm hurrying. You don't need to say hurry. I like suddenly. Boom, there it is. Come on. Man, to me, one of the greatest inventions in my lifetime has been the microwave. Why wait 30 minutes for something to heat up? Do it in two. It's steaming hot. I don't know why they haven't found a freezer like that, a micro freeze. Wouldn't that be amazing? Just to freeze something that fast. A sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. What do you think is going through their minds? They've been praying for 10 days. Now listen, if you've been praying for 10 days, you probably can hardly keep your eyes open. And all of a sudden you hear violent, blowing wind. And it filled the whole house. They came. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Wow. Now, I know what a lot of people will tell you. A lot of people will say, well, that's not for today, Pastor Keith. You know, we don't need people speaking in tongues today. Listen, it's for, he goes on and tells us later, it's for you and your children and your children's children and as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen. See, God still moves today, but he has a perfect timetable. So many times we let people's opinions or books we've read cause us to doubt the miraculous and we throw out the baby with the bathwater. Just because there's somebody goofy on TV that messes up or does something, it does not change what the Word of God says. Remember last 2 weeks ago, Paul said in Philippians, but what does it matter if the gospel's being preached? Listen, do you know this year, for me, marks 50 years since I gave my heart to Christ at a young boy at 8 years old. 50 years. Is that incredible or what? It hit me the other day. It's my jubilee. It's my jubilee. 50 years. And I know what you're thinking back there. You only look 30. And it was a display of God's power that brought my family to the Lord. I shared just a couple weeks ago about a lady that was healed with cancer 50 years ago, and it so shook my mom and my family that we started going to church, and she's still alive today. God still does the miraculous today. Don't let your faith be destroyed just because someone doesn't receive. Don't let your faith be destroyed just because you're praying about something and you haven't seen the answer yet. Praise God and just continue standing in faith. Amen? I don't know about you, but I'm hungry for the power of God. I'm hungry for a display of the power of God where it's not just talked about, but you see it. And the answer is not in our government. If you follow me on Facebook, I put a post this week, and it's like the only second post I put in the last few months about politics. But I'm just so tired of what's going on in Washington, D.C. I'm so tired of these yo-yos trying to govern our government when we ought to just take every one of them out and start all over again. Scaramucci scares me. You know what Scaramucci means in Spanish? It means much scared. I'm just kidding. It don't really, but it's close. Mucho? That's Scaramucho. Foul language that came from one of the communications director this week. It just blew my mind. That made me angry. I don't know if it ticked anybody else off, but I'm called to represent our church and to speak to God's people. And I'm just telling you, that doesn't belong in our government. If I could fire him, I'd say, you're fired. Better not be anybody a fan of him and the way he talked. Look at Acts 2. I want to show you what Peter said in verse 38. Peter preaches this great sermon. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." How many know he's talking about us? Come on.
You know what I want to see in these last days? Look at Acts chapter 5, verses 12 through 16. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. And all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade, and no one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their numbers. And as a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Can you imagine if we got done with church today? And you go out the front door, and all along Pleasant Valley Boulevard, there's beds with sick people laying on it, and there's crutches, and there's people out there waiting, just waiting for us to get done with church so we can walk by and they'll be healed. That's what happened. I'm bringing it into reality. Finally, he says, crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and what? All of them were healed. You talk about something that will change this nation. No wonder it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will hear their heal their land. It's not the people in Washington. It's the people in Rockford. It's the people in church. We are the ones God's looking to and saying, if my people repent, if my people get serious about me, then I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal their land. I don't have my hope in Washington, D.C. My hope is in Jesus. Let's define power. You know I love definitions. The ability to act, to influence, or to produce an effect. Obviously, it didn't work this week in our government. They failed. But you know what power is, real power? It's the ability to act, to do something. For example, let me give you an example. Let's say they're going to come and get my car today. I owe $40 on my car, and I haven't been able to pay it, and they're coming to repossess my car, and I just shared it with you today, and one of you back there has an extra $40, and you said, Pastor Keith, I'm going to act. I'm going to do something. And you come and you share with me and you say, here's $40. Go pay your car and get it out of the impound. How many know that's power? We have that power. We have power to share with those who don't have enough. That's part of what being blessed is. Can you say amen? I remember a few years ago when my friend who was a billionaire was dying and he came to me and he said to me, Keith, let me give you some money. And he had so much money. And I said to him, I said, Robert, I don't want your money. I said, I'm rich. He looked at me like a deer in the headlights, you know. He said, you are? I didn't know that. I said, yeah. And I said, my definition of rich is different than yours. I believe when I have all my bills paid and I have money enough to help other people, I'm rich. How many in here today are rich? Come on. The ability to act, to influence or produce an effect. How many know that the world is wanting to see us produce an effect? Let's become active in the power of God. Let's influence the world for the kingdom of God, and let's produce an effect. I want you to think for a minute about Simon Peter. Power of God transformed him from being an ordinary man. He was actually a coward. He denied he knew the Lord. Remember that? God transformed him into such an extraordinary man that when it came time for him to be crucified, he said, I'm not worthy to die like my Lord. Crucify me upside down. That's power. That's the effect of God upon a life. How about the Apostle Paul? He was a Pharisee who spent his time going around killing Christians. And the power of God comes on him. And what happens? He ends up writing 2/3 of the New Testament. He's a guy that will look and say, as he's in prison, he'll look and say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Come on, that's power. Do we still need God's power? Let me ask you, do you ever get sick? Could you use a helping hand in your finances? Could you ever use a healing in a relationship that's broken? Church, we are in dire need of the power of God in our churches and in our lives. I want to leave you with a few verses of Scripture this morning regarding the power of God. Getting out a little early, I guess. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1. He called his 12 disciples to him, and he gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Now, who does the power belong to? His. It's God's. Can you say amen? But he gives you and I what? Authority. We have authority. Authority is the ability to use his power. That's literally the difference. Authority is the ability to use and the legal right to use the power of God. Remember Matthew 6:13 in the Lord's Prayer? And if you have the NIV here, this is one of the things I don't like about the NIV. They left out part of this verse, and it's a very important part of the verse. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's all it says in the NIV. But you go to the New American Standard, and I believe the King James has it also. It says, for thine is the kingdom, yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. That's a pretty important part to leave out. Some of you are saying, Pastor Keith, why have you been switching from the NIV to the New American Standard? For reasons like that. I think that's a pretty important part to not leave that out. Boy, you guys are so quiet today. And he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all the demons and to heal diseases. The other day, someone was in my office and we were talking about deliverance because with a certain person I was working with, and this person asked me, he said, Are you ever afraid, Pastor Keith, when you've been through a deliverance? Are you ever scared? I said, not one time could I ever tell you that I was ever afraid or scared. And I've been times where someone punched a hole in my wall with a demon spirit that was attacking them. And there's times when people violently shook and growled at me and looked like that. But not one time has anyone ever been able to hurt me or touch me. You say, why? Because I have power and authority over all the works of the enemy. Come on, that's important. Look what he said in Luke 10:19. Behold, that means look, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Now, you guys are back there going, that's sweet. And I'm here going, wow! He gave me authority over all the works of the enemy. Has anybody got the enemy working against you? You have authority over him. Say, get behind me, Satan. Stop what you're doing in my life. Stop what you're doing in my family. Stop what you're doing in my body. I have authority over you in the name of Jesus. Come on, church. Thank you. Come on, praise him. So I want to close with this powerful verse. And I'll never forget when I was at the Open Bible Church, and some of you might have been there back then. I don't know if Don and Carol were going then to Open Bible, but some of you might have been when I was youth pastor in Belvedere, and I was only 22, 23 years old. And pastor asked me to preach that Sunday morning, and I preached. Place was packed. That was a real conservative church. And I preached on this verse. And I'll never forget, as long as I live, I gave an altar call. And they lined up all the way across the front, all the way down the aisles. People were lined up for prayer because they hadn't had an altar call like that at that church. And they were hungry for the power of God. I prayed till I could hardly walk. This is what he said. Jesus, and I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. I kind of like that, shall have been. That means it's already done in the past tense. Did you get that? See, he bore my infirmities, he carried my diseases, and by his stripes I was healed. Are you with me? Remember in 1987 when I wrote the song Spirit Eyes, I was laying in the prayer room at the church and I wanted to resign. And I went and prayed over every chair in the entire church thinking God would let me quit if I could do that. You know,
And I'm laying on my face, and I hear the Lord's presence come in the room. I was so scared at that moment, I couldn't even raise off the floor because there was that awesome reverence, fear of God. And God spoke to me, and I'll never forget what He said in my spirit. He said, "Keith, the things you've been praying for, they exist. You just don't see them. I've given you your heart's desire, but you're not looking through the eyes of the Spirit. You're looking through the eyes, your natural eyes." And He said, "Open your eyes and you will see that I've already done it for you." I went to the piano in 15 minutes time. I sat there and penned the words to a song that went on to become a number one hit song. "When you've gone the second mile, still the road seems long. When every turn you take in life, the road that you choose seems wrong. With darkness all around you and you can't see the prize, that's when you look the way God looks and you see through spirit eyes." He gave you and I the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever we bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. Past tense. And whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Here's the deal, friend. Jesus already did all the work. All we got to do is open the door with the key. Take the keys He's already given us, and they're already been bound in heaven. They've already been loosed on earth. He'll do it for us if we believe and we do not doubt. Say amen, somebody. Now, I don't know what you're going through today. I forgot to tell you that right now I want to bless you. Bow your head with me just for a moment. No one's looking around. I believe today is a very serious moment because I believe that there are people today who are desperate. And I'm here to tell you today the power of God can make the difference in your life. If you're here today and you'd say, "Pastor Keith, I'm going through something right now where the enemy is really trying to destroy my faith," I'm simply going to ask you to step out from where you're seated, come down here and stand at the front, and I'm going to lay hands on you and I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to take the keys to the kingdom and we're going to open the door for that miracle in your life. If you need something from God today, just stand right up where you're at and walk down front and I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to wait just a minute.